Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. I'm so happy you all are here. Two quick housekeeping announcements for anybody who's listening in now or later. We just launched the upcoming MiracleShare.org virtual conference. It's happening in October. It's a bunch of different teachers for a super, super, super low price, and we're not turning anybody away. So there's scholarship options as well. And I just wanted to announce, too, that Deidre is having an angel class starting this coming Wednesday. And Deidre, I don't want to forget to mention your website by the end of the call. Would you just tell us what it is right now?
Yeah, it's spiritwings.ca, but I have the angel class link on a bit of a longer link. So maybe if I post it in the group, it'll be easier for people to find it.
Okay, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. All right, so let's take a breath. Turning from the busyness of the world to within. With the intention of remembering who we really are. Above all else, we want to see differently. In this holy instant, we give to the Holy Spirit. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. With the love in your heart and light in your mind, taking a nice deep breath and coming to our perception of right here, right now. Okay, so just to read the page numbers of where we are at, if you have the Sparkle edition, we're on page 243. The heading in all the editions is the same. It's the dynamics of the ego. If you have the original edition, it's Chapter 10, Part 6, or page 203, also called The Dynamics of the Ego. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 202, and same title, The Dynamics, in quotes, of the Ego. All right, here we go. The Dynamics of the Ego. No one can escape from illusions unless he looks at them, for not looking is the way they are protected. There is no need to shrink from illusions, for they cannot be dangerous. We are ready to look more closely at the ego's thought system because, together, we have the lamp that will dispel it. And since you realize you do not want it, you must be ready. Let us be very calm in doing this, for we are merely looking honestly for truth. The dynamics of the ego will be our lesson for a while, for we must look first at this to look beyond it, since you have made it real. We will undo this error quietly together, and then look beyond it to the truth. There's lots of goodies in this paragraph. The first thing that comes to mind to me that I'll share, and then I definitely want to open it up and see if anybody else has anything that has come forward. Before the call, Yogi had mentioned, it was an interview that I did with Dan Rose on my experience with overcoming anxiety with A Course in Miracles. And one of the things that I just shared in that video that comes to mind that relates to this is that in the past, for years, actually, I would open up A Course in Miracles, read something, feel better, and then just sort of go on about my day. And it wasn't until I started stopping when I would feel anxiety, it wasn't until I started stopping and looking at the anxiety with the Holy Spirit that things started to really shift on a much deeper level for me. So this very first sentence, No one can escape from illusions unless he looks at them, for not looking is the way they are protected.
Mm.
To me, it's just like another way of saying that, like, everything that is coming up, everything that's happening is an opportunity to look at it with the Holy Spirit, because all we're doing then is just not protecting, you know, the hidden beliefs underneath it or the, you know, illusions that are there. We're looking at everything with the Holy Spirit. So anytime we get triggered or have a conflict or something comes up, that's the only reason that it's coming up. It's just, it's there. It's just another opportunity to look at it with the Holy Spirit. So I have more that I can say about other things in the paragraph, but I'd love to just pause and see if anybody has anything that has,
yeah, this is Yogi, and I think it was last week or maybe the week before last, Paula said something like, we don't get a break with the Course.
Uh-huh.
It's true. With other systems or other ways, because I've tried just about everything that's out there, you do, but you really don't. I mean,
uh-huh.
Yeah, you get, because if you get, like I noticed with me, a little sense, even just like this morning, I noticed the slightest little sensation of separation or thinking about someone and thinking, oh, why did she call me? She's flaky or something like that. Just slight little thing. Immediately, the Holy Spirit just had me gently and lovingly realize that is just that separation, Yogi. So
mm-hmm.
As I go through my day now, I don't get it. Since I've been on doing the Course, I don't get away with anything, you know?
Right. Sometimes we want it. Come on, like, just give us a little bit to get away with, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no slack.
It's the writer happy. The right, you know, it's the ego wanting to be right,
mm-hmm.
really,
mm-hmm.
that causes all the problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you don't look at it, you know, that background noise just keeps repeating itself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be so convincing.
Yeah.
And
I like how you called it that background noise, because
it is
the
background noise.
Won't
static.
Change. Yeah, it's static. It is. It's static. It's background noise,
yeah.
And it stays there if we don't look at it, because it's protected if we don't look at it.
Yeah.
It really, and it won't quit. You know,
mm-hmm.
until you bring the Holy Spirit in, because that's really the only way to stop, in my opinion, that's the only way I can stop it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and asking, give me, you know, shift me out of this. Give me a mm-hmm. better way to look at this, whatever, you know, the nonsense is at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I just say, I'm not listening to you. I'm not doing it. Go away. I don't want to hear it. It's persistent. You know, it's a persistent,
Yeah, it is. You know, the other thing that stands out to me that I wanted to highlight in this paragraph, well, it's all good. So then it goes on to say, we're looking more closely at the ego's thought system, essentially, because we're ready. It says, the dynamics of the ego will be our lesson for a while, for we must look first at this, to look beyond it, since you have made it real. This, to me, is a really, really, really important sentence, because this is where I think so many of us, and I've done this, you know, before in the past myself too, we want to just dismiss it. Oh, it's just not real, you know, and sort of skip over the fact that it is real for us, that we've made it real. So this is saying very clearly, we have to look first at it to look beyond it, to then look beyond it, because we have made it real. So I think this is where, you know, in terms of when we flip into intellectualizing the Course and just dismissing something, you know, yeah, it was upsetting, but whatever, it's not real. That's, you know, skipping over the top of it versus acknowledging the fact that, okay, wait a second, you know, that did kind of suck. Like, because we have made this very real for ourselves. It's not real, of course, in truth, but we've made it real for ourselves. So that's why, you know, we don't go running out in the street in front of an oncoming car. It's just, I wanted to emphasize that about, again, the willingness that I know that we all have to just look at what's coming up with the Holy Spirit, because we've made it real for ourselves.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, Corinne, because I hear that a lot in the community, but it's not real, or
mm-hmm.
this is not real, or that's not real, and then
mm-hmm.
it's easy to not look at it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That you, oh, you just hit the nail on the head. It is easy to not look at it then. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. That just gave me goosebumps. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, undo, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to read the last sentence again, but please share.
Okay. Well, I just, what you were saying, look at it, like look at something when it keeps coming up. And I had an experience this week where something kept coming up and I was like, what is this about? And I kept taking it to spirit. And I find whenever I do that, whenever I'm willing to look at it, it always comes back to some form of lack of trust. Some sort of lack of trust that I have.
Oh, absolutely.
With yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that phrase, trust would settle all things now, is because I kind of processed through something today where I just wasn't trusting this person. And when I really stopped and decided, I'm going to trust this person, everything just totally shifted. I had such a fun time and good day with this person. It was really, but it has, it's gotta be conscious, you know. You gotta be conscious. You gotta make a conscious decision.
Yeah, it's like it's saying in this paragraph, you have to look at it. Otherwise, you don't. The ego is so crafty that you don't realize you're getting sucked back in a pattern of lack of trusting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It is. Oh, well said. The title of this section could be The Craftiness of the Ego.
Yeah.
So I was just going to read the last sentence before, so I'll read it now. We will undo this error quietly together and then look beyond it to truth. So again, there again, it speaks to the fact that this is a joint effort. We're not looking past the error by ourselves. We're learning to look past it through the Holy Spirit. It gets undone together. We can't undo it by ourselves. The ego can't undo the ego. The ego doesn't want to undo the ego. So that's a nice setup for disaster. Let's read the next paragraph. Oh, was somebody going to say something? I thought I heard a breath. No? Okay. What is healing but the removal of all that stands in the way of knowledge? And how else can one dispel illusions except by looking at them directly without protecting them? Be not afraid, therefore, for what you will be looking at is the source of fear. But you have surely learned by now that fear is not real. We have accepted the fact already that its effects can be dispelled merely by denying their reality. The next step is obviously to recognize that what has no effects does not exist. Laws do not operate in a vacuum, and what leads to nothing has not happened. If reality is recognized by its extension, what extends to nothing cannot be real. So that's interesting to think about, you know, in this world, how fear is really, you know, the basis of everything. And we think that we can share fear and extend fear and teach fear, and yet this is saying fear is nothing. So if fear is what extends to nothing can't be real. That just is striking to me. I don't know if I conveyed exactly what was in my head. But and again, here we have the emphasis on, you know, the second sentence. Well, I love even the first sentence. What is healing but the removal of all that stands in the way of knowledge? We already are healed. We already are home, except we've put these big dream-like blocks in, you know, between our awareness, us and our awareness of the presence of love that is already here. So we dispel that in the second sentence. We look at them directly without protecting them, again, with the Holy Spirit as guide. Oh,
I do think it is a process.
Absolutely.
I do think over time, I think it's just beautiful the way the Holy Spirit, when we're willing to take these things to Him, works with us over time.
Mm-hmm.
And the clarity becomes, more apparent,
mm-hmm.
at least as I, or at least I feel that way as I, consciously make decisions to let go of anger or whatever is blocking the Holy Spirit's ability to show me a better way.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, it's not something, or at least for me, it doesn't, sometimes it happens immediately, but if I let myself go down that, that spiral staircase,
mm-hmm.
and I don't catch it,
mm-hmm.
In time, then it seems to really take time for me to be willing to see it His way.
I'm glad that you said that, because once we take even one step down that spiral staircase, we won't realize that we just slid down the railing,
we don't
see how quickly we just spiral down, and we think, everything is, fine, and yet we then come to see that, wait a second, I lost my peace a long time ago, and I need help.
Yeah. And fear seems to be, at least for me, fear, and I'm not even conscious of it a lot of the time, that it's fear that's taken me down that path,
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as Deidre just said, a lack of trust.
Right. Trust would settle all things now. Another sentence in this paragraph that really stands out to me is where it says, the next step is obviously to recognize that what has no effects does not exist. I know I've shared this before a number of times, but with, that constant asking the Holy Spirit for help, asking, and not getting quiet and waiting to receive. For me, the getting quiet piece, another way of saying that, is that feeling, that recognition that it is done already, that this is all done. And if we can step into that energy, that feeling for even just a moment, that everything, this is done, this whole dream is over, and we can just sort of pause and embrace the fact that we're already home, that to me is another big shifting point where a lot of inner peace returns to my awareness. So that sentence just reminded me of that. Let's read the next paragraph. Do not be afraid then to look upon fear, for it cannot be seen. Clarity undoes confusion by definition, and to look upon darkness through light must dispel it. Let us begin this lesson in ego dynamics by understanding that the term itself does not mean anything. In fact, it contains exactly the contradiction in terms which makes it meaningless. Dynamics implies the power to do something, and the whole separation fallacy lies in the belief that the ego has the power to do anything. The ego is fearful to you because you believe this. Yet the truth is very simple. All power is of God. What is not of Him has no power to do anything. I heard some chuckling.
Yeah.
I love it.
It just made me laugh, like the sentence about, well, we're describing ego dynamics, but it really doesn't mean anything.
Uh-huh.
I was never a Seinfeld fan, but it made me think of, let's make a show about nothing.
You're right. Isn't that what this whole world is? That's awesome.
Yeah.
A big, big show about nothing. A big story about nothing. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I love it when we can hear the humor in the course.
Oh.
So don't be afraid then to look upon fear, because there actually is nothing there. I know for me, I can most tangibly touch fear of the ego when I feel like I'm, and again, listen to who's doing the judging, but I'm doing well, you know, like I'm in a good place and I'm afraid of an ego backlash. That to me is the easiest way that I can sort of identify with a sentence towards the bottom of this paragraph where it says the ego is fearful to you because you believe this, you believe that it has power to do something. So, you know, at those moments when, when I've gotten afraid that the ego is going to do some kind of backlash, that's, again, evidence that I believe that it has power to do something. And so that becomes what I can look at with the Holy Spirit.
I think physical, the fear of being sick or having some kind of a diagnosis or something like that is one of the harder things that, you know, to kind of overcome. Mm-hmm. But I love when we have these conversations about how we've done this many times on this call, where it maybe you'll have something, you're told, well, I have to go to the doctor next Tuesday, and he's gonna give me the diagnosis, his diagnosis. And we've talked about how there's nothing out there mm-hmm. that can change your perfection, you know, mm-hmm. God's will for you. And but sometimes that feels. I had to have a little oral surgery last week, mm-hmm. and I just did it because the dentist suggested it, and I really wasn't going to do it at all. But because he suggested, you better have this looked at. And now in a couple of weeks, I have to go back. They're doing a biopsy on it, and you know, every now and then, because I feel very confident that all is well in my life, mm-hmm. you know, but every now and then that'll kind of slip in there, like, oh, at one time I would be totally neurosing over this, mm-hmm. and I just think it is so incredible how, you know, when we work together like this and we talk about these things. Mm-hmm. You know, how confident we become over time. And mm-hmm. But there's that, still that little background noise there that tempts you to go down that path. And I'm just really determined to take that to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just Holy Spirit, let me see your view of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Show me a better way here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And those moments when that ego voice creeps in, like, oh, well, you know, those little fleeting, tiny fear thoughts, you just said it, Paula, that those, you know, are remaining shadows that are coming to the surface for us to look at with the Holy Spirit. So rather than even just, you know, distract ourselves from that, bringing that to the Holy Spirit, bringing that to the light is another opportunity to heal the darkness that we've hidden, you know, in our,
right.
in our own minds.
Right.
I actually had more of a minor surgery in the beginning of June, and it ended up being an amazing opportunity for me to let go because it gave me such an opportunity to look at how much I thought Corinne was in charge and to really, really, really hand that over to the Holy Spirit. So it was actually quite a beautiful learning experience in letting go and, you know, totally relinquishing my investment in how I think things need to be, you know, how I think I need to even just where my safety is, you know, thinking that my safety lies in a body, in a healthy body.
Right.
And looking at that with the Holy Spirit, just like looking at all the beliefs that circumstance brings up. It's all a beautiful opportunity to bring it to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Oh, the body. Such
wow.
a opportunity for, you know, either anguish or joyous lessons, depending on what we're going to do with, you know, what it is that's coming up. Thank you for sharing that, Paula.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, so the ego has no power to do anything, and we slowly are learning that. We're slowly undoing those beliefs that we think that it does have the power to do something. And I love how it just sums up at the bottom of this paragraph, yet the truth is very simple. All power is of God. What is not of him has no power to do anything. So we can be certain that by turning to the Holy Spirit, we are learning that, and we are learning of our absolute safety. Next paragraph. When we look at the ego, then, we are not considering dynamics, but delusions. We can surely regard a delusional system without fear, for it cannot have any effects if its source is not true. Fear becomes more obviously inappropriate if one recognizes the ego's goal, which is so clearly senseless that any effort exerted on its behalf is necessarily expended on nothing. The ego's goal is quite explicitly ego autonomy. From the beginning, then, its purpose is to be separate, sufficient unto itself, and independent of any power except its own. This is why it is a symbol of separation. Interesting to think about this, that the ego's goal is explicitly ego autonomy. So it wants to dissociate God away as far as possible and be its own little ruler in its own little universe. That's the purpose of the ego.
You know, it's actually on page 293 in this Sparkle edition, Finding the Present, and he says, "You can, if you are not in the present moment." Let me just read this. You consider natural to use your past experience as a reference point from which to judge the present, yet this is unnatural because it is delusional. Mm-hmm. So actually, any time we're really not in the moment, mm-hmm. and, you know, our thinking is delusional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you brought that up, Paula, because I think about just even in, you know, my training as a counselor, one of the interventions was like, you know, well, what has worked for you in the past? Let's use your past learning as a reference point to judge the present, which is so clearly opposite what the Course is teaching us, which is to not rely on our own past learning, but instead to turn to the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, like you've already said, Paula, this healing process comes in stages and in levels, and we only, you know, are going to, we can only be where we are at. So that might be the best advice or the best decision for somebody who is in, you know, a particular place to look at their past experience and, you know, see what that's taught them, because they're just not, you know, open to perhaps a path like this, let's say. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because it's a good reminder that rather than rely on our past experience, it's all about asking the Holy Spirit in the present moment, in the now, just like you said.
Yeah.
That's so helpful. I'm so glad that you read that. Thank you.
Really.
It's just funny to me, again, in this paragraph when it says, you know, we're not considering dynamics. We're talking about delusions of the ego. And we can surely, you know, laugh at a delusional system because it's delusional. And then it just ends, it goes on to just end the paragraph talking about how the ego's goal is always ego autonomy. Okay, next paragraph. Anybody have anything else before I move on, actually, that's come up so far in this paragraph or in any of the ones that we've read thus far? Sounds like we're good. Every idea has a purpose, and its purpose is always the natural extension of what it is. Everything that stems from the ego is the natural outcome of its central belief, and the way to undo its results is merely to recognize that their source is not natural, being out of accord with your true nature. We once said that to will contrary to God is wishful thinking and not real willing. His will is one because the extension of his will cannot be unlike itself. The real conflict you experience then is between the ego's idle wishes and the will of God which you share. Can this be a real conflict? As I was reading this, what was coming to mind was from our earlier conversations about substituting the word will for love. I'm sorry, love for will. So we once said that to love contrary to God is wishful thinking and not real love, not real loving. His love is one because the extension of his love cannot be unlike itself. The real conflict you experience then is between the ego's idle wishes and the love of God, which you share. Can this be a real conflict?
Boy, that really is powerful, isn't it?
Isn't it?
When you read it that way.
Yeah. And loving contrary to God is, we can come up, I'm sure, with a lot of different examples of what that can look like, but it's just, you know, it's the ego's special love, it's our separate special love relationships, it's our love of idols. Let's read the next paragraph. This is good. This is tying up, actually. This is very relevant to the information that we've just read. Yours is the independence of creation, not of autonomy. Your whole creative function lies in your complete dependence on God, whose function he shares with you. By his willingness to share it, he became as dependent on you as you are on him. Do not ascribe the ego's arrogance to him who wills not to be independent of you. He has included you in his autonomy. Can you believe that autonomy is meaningful apart from him? The belief in ego autonomy is costing you the knowledge of your dependence on God, in which your freedom lies. The ego sees all dependency as threatening and has twisted even your longing for God into a means of establishing itself. But do not be deceived by its interpretation of your conflict. Oh, again, there's so much rich stuff in this paragraph, where it says the ego sees all dependency as threatening and has twisted even your longing for God into a means of establishing itself. You know, we look for God in romantic partners. We look for God in all sorts of different ways in the world, and it's, again, just the ego trying to, you know, give substitutes for what we're actually longing for, which is God. And I love just how this, to me, you know, how we use, like, lowercase s for self and uppercase s for self to distinguish between, like, the ego self and the, you know, the higher self. Here, what stands out to me is autonomy versus autonomy. Autonomy with a lowercase a and autonomy with a capital A, the one being, you know, the ego's use of autonomy, which is to separate as much as possible. Capital A autonomy being a recognition that we're completely dependent on God, and in that we are completely free, which is kind of sounding like an oxymoron, but that's the mind.
And in that we
teaching.
Are completely free. That's what you just said, right? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. In recognizing our complete dependence on God, that's where our freedom lies.
Yeah, that does sound a little backwards, but
and it's funny too. I mean, I wonder if even, you know, subtly at whether now or at some other, you know, point in time. I know for me, this isn't the first time. This is not the first time that I've read this, and I know for me in the past, like complete dependence on God, I don't know if I want that. Like right there, you know, is my,
oh, yeah,
my ego kicking up, and I don't want to be completely dependent on God. I like, you know, being independent. So right there is another opportunity to look at what's arising.
And yet he will not enable us. He wants us to be, oh,
to be home.
To be home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He won't enable it, but God honors, how it says in the Course, even our miscreation, so God won't interfere. So if we want to just dilly-dally and
right,
postpone.
Exactly. That's,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He will not step in
right,
unless
right,
we ask him.
Right.
And that's where, you know, the Holy Spirit comes in, because, and everything really, it really becomes, I had a couple of situations this week where I was like, oh, whoa, how am I going to get, you know, how am I going to do this?
Uh-huh.
At work.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I would go to the Holy Spirit with it, it became like effortless. It's what you're talking about when we first started this call,
mm-hmm,
how easy things are going for you now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right.
I think, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Did you have something more to add, Paula?
No, I thought Deidre
okay,
was saying something.
Oh, go for it, Deidre.
It was just this idea in the last few paragraphs about the special relationship, because it doesn't have to be, like, just with a romantic partner. It could be with, like, family or friends or anything. But I think that, at least in my experience, the ego will use the idea or the concept of the special relationship and twist that on you too,
mm-hmm,
so that you're not sure if you're in love or not. Like,
mm,
if you're choosing love, like the ego will almost use your doubt of whether your relationship is having like special tendencies,
mm-hmm,
or not against you. And I think what I've found anyway, as I practice the Course, is that it's not that things don't come up in relationships with other people. It's that you just have a different way of looking at them or dealing with them,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
as they come up. It's not that things suddenly just, like, stop.
right.
Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get in my head.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll say too, though, in some cases as well, like, relationships can also get very easy. it's
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it can kind of go both ways.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out though, because I think the term special relationships gets thrown around a lot, at least in the Course in Miracles community, and that sometimes creates confusion to me, because you can actually have a very healthy holy relationship, which is the opposite of special love. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you, DJ. That's helpful.
I guess I'm a little unclear. I'm just looking at number 6. Yours is the independence of creation, not of autonomy. Your whole creative function lies in your complete dependence on God, whose function he shares with you. And that just, I'm not getting that.
Makes the head spin, right?
Yeah, it's not really. And I usually don't, if I don't get something, I will go to the Holy Spirit, right? But I'm on the group, on the line.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Groups,
and,
I just thought I'd really ask. Because it seems like it's, yours is the independent, yours, when it says yours is the independence of creation, is it referring to the ego?
No, that's
no.
What I get from that is that our independence is that capital A autonomy, not of ego autonomy. So this is where I'm reading it. I'm asking for words. Our independence is of God, of creation, you know, of heaven. In our embracing that again, that's where we find our independence, not of ego autonomy. So if you think, if you just add in the word ego autonomy after that, I'm sorry, before the word autonomy.
But then it says your whole creative function lies in your complete dependence on God.
Right. So again, in recognizing our complete dependence on God, that's where we find our independence of creation. That's where we find where we find our complete autonomy with a capital A to extend that love, to extend creation.
I was reading the Circle of Atonement. I think it was Robert Perry or somebody, because it's written. This is written in the iambic pentameter meter.
Yeah.
So. I love Shakespeare, and that's why I love the poetry of the Course, but sometimes it does throw me.
I think it does that to keep our interest.
One of the amazing things I've discovered, this is a side note, that I've just come to the Course for 3 or 4 months now. Over the years, I've dipped and dabbled here or there. I never studied the lessons. I was always drawn to the text, but I dipped and dabbled here or there. But never serious, but since May I've been really, really studying it. And I'm amazed that Christ has put almost every single word in there that's in the Webster Dictionary, almost. And I mean, I haven't read the whole thing, but I devour this for hours a day. It's always with me. If I go to the post office, it's with me. If it's I get a spare moment, I read the Course a lot throughout the day. I'm amazed that the words, that it's like all the words we use in this dimension or time space reality, they all seem to be in the Course.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's like a vocabulary lesson sometimes.
It is.
it really is. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Now that you said that, Paula, tell me what maximal means.
Ask me. Maximal would be the most, the largest amount, the biggest.
Because he says love is maximal. Okay. Okay, because I've never seen that in the Webster, so that was like, yeah. So what does this mean? Yeah, so when you said it's like a vocabulary, it is. It's very verbose. It's a very verbose book.
Yes.
Or text, I would say. It's not a book. It's a sacred text.
Right. Because, if it just said, like, you're already healed, this is all an illusion, we'd be like, okay, bye, involved and intricate, because it keeps our attention and speaks to, again, that experience of sometimes we read one thing at one point in time and then down the road read it again and get it on a whole new level. I feel like that's also why it's written the way that it is, because we're going to see exactly what we are ready to see. We're going to get what we're ready for. How about the next paragraph? The ego always attacks on behalf of separation. Believing it has the power to do this, it does nothing else because its goal of autonomy is nothing else. The ego is totally confused about reality, but it does not lose sight of its goal. It is much more vigilant than you it is much more vigilant than you are because it is perfectly certain of its purpose. You are confused because you do not know yours. I think that's kind of funny again, that the ego is totally confused about what reality really is, but it does not lose sight of its goal, which is separation. It's way more vigilant than we are because it's totally certain of that purpose.
So I just want to also ask you, Corinne, so because I hear a lot of the term ego, 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 ego. the ego is the false identity or the split mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, and that split mind, so there's really only one ego. And yet, the Course talks about how it just kept fragmenting and fragmenting and fragmenting to go deeper and deeper into the separation. And so that's why we experience this as you and me. So we think about, you know, our own egos, but we're actually, what we're actually working on is undoing the ego.
There's just ego. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I rarely ever say her ego or my ego. It's just
mm-hmm,
ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because if I'm seeing ego in you, I'm seeing ego in me. It's really just ego.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it also says the ego doesn't exist at all,
mm-hmm.
which is really the best news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a part of
it. It goes right back to what we were talking about in the beginning. It's nothing. It's mm-hmm. nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And nowhere.
So when you say that, that's another thing again. So when you say it's nothing, is Christ talking about nothing meaning horizontal or vertical time? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
He talks about horizontal time.
It's anything but the present moment.
Huh?
It's Sorry? Anything but the present moment.
Okay, so the ego is future or past?
But we are still pumping belief into it in this moment. So
yes.
it's not a past choice for the ego that we've made, or you know, a future choice. It's our choice right here, right now, that we still are invested in this. If you think about it, you know, Paula, what you're speaking is on a level of higher truth, you know, with like there is no ego.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
yet,
yeah.
am I ready to give up my ego? No.
No.
You know, because, again, we've made that. This goes back to what we started with. We have made this real for ourselves, and there is a part of us that is terrified to let this go and doesn't want to let this go, is very, very, very much invested in this. So
yeah.
It's not until we truly come to a place where we genuinely are ready to just lay this down that it's going to be over. So, you know.
I mean, since I've started working with this material, how many times have I done that? A billion times. It's an ongoing choice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Paula, it's not just you. It's the whole conscious. It's all of us that are doing
it. It's all of us.
You.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
it's
so
all
as soon
of
as,
us.
Yeah, all of us, because it says the world will end in laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So, yeah, so we're all doing it. So
we're
like
all
the,
doing it.
Yeah, we're all doing it. So when you say you're personalizing it, and I know I do that too, but realize we're all doing it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to piss you off by saying that you are doing it too. So,
I'm doing it too, yeah. You are me and I'm you. There's no separation.
Oh, I love it.
I'll just share something real quickly. I think
Deidre
has something to say. I've been looking at I just made myself just look at the whole Israeli-Palestine thing, and I was so upset about the children, and I said, please, Holy Spirit, please, please help me. The grief was so much. I said, please help me. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, I am one spirit. And because I'm one spirit, as I said that lesson, he said that this will reverberate around the world to thousands of souls, but specifically in Palestine and Israel. And that was the only thing that gave me relief last night, knowing that on some level, the Holy Spirit, because it said in that lesson that the Holy Spirit took me to, I was frantically trying to find something in the Course that would soothe me.
Mm.
And then the Holy Spirit reassured me. He reassured me that this is over. It's just a drama that's just being played out again and again and again on the world stage. And that when I said this lesson, I'm one spirit, I was I was with them, they were with me, I wasn't separate from them. But rather than deciding I'm going to be angry at one side or another, the Holy Spirit said, no, don't get angry because it will perpetuate. Reserve your anger for love. If there's one person on the planet that can do that over this issue, said you must do it, and then the next person will do it, the next person.
Goosebumps.
Thank you. Oh, absolute goosebumps.
That was such a gift. Oh, that was a gift. Thank you. I think, Deidre, did you have something to add?
There's a part in Nuke Sanchez's book, The End of Death, where she's talking about, it's in the beginning of the book, I think, and she's talking about how we think that spirit sees the ego, like when we're in the ego, and she says, and this has been true in all the times I've ever worked with angels for, you know, in my own life or with other people, is that we think that spirit sees all this ego stuff, but for spirit, the ego doesn't even register. It's not even there. It's nothing.
It looks straight past it to the truth beyond.
Yeah, it's just all spirit sees is the love in every single energy.
You know, Marianne Williamson talked about this on one of her tapes where she said, if Hitler walked out in the sun would shine on Hitler. And it's such a wonderful analogy because that's how God does not see any of this. He just shines and shines forever and waits to join, you know?
The other half mile to that is that if for this, for anything that the Course is saying to be true, it has to be true for the one mind, and everyone is part of the one mind.
Yes.
So it can't be okay for one person or what we think is one person while we're in these bodies, you know, having this experience.
This, to me, is the ongoing challenge.
Right.
You know, this is the ongoing challenge. Oh, no, but that one over there, no, that's an exception. It's
right.
Always the ego. It's always,
ego, yeah.
I have one of those in my life, you know, and the finger points right at it. And I work with the Holy Spirit on this because the temptation with that person is so great. And when I started writing all of the adjectives, the descriptive adjectives that I didn't like about this person, it's all the things I don't like about me.
That
domineering stuff and that wanting to control everything. And it's like, how can I hate her? I can't hate her. This is so obvious. And again, you know, it's just taking the time to be willing to write it down and get it out. We're going right back to where we started from tonight.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you, everybody. We're at the top of the hour. So have a great week. And Deidre, is next week the week that you're covering for me?
I believe so, yeah.
I think it's next week. It's my 10th wedding anniversary, so my husband and I are going to Las Vegas.
We're
not gamblers, but we're just going to, you know, check it out and do some fun things and probably renew our vows in a drive-through wedding chapter.
Oh, my word.
Like a literal takeout window. Like, you know, you drive up to, like, the McDonald's takeout window. Like, that's how they – you can – renew your vows. So we're just going to go to have a good time.
Well,
so,
Corinne, you're not
going
to be too far away from Sedona.
Ah, right. I would love to go there, too. So Deidre has volunteered graciously to cover the call next week so everybody can still get together and join, and I will be with you all in spirit. So.
Oh, we'll be with you too. Oh, congratulations.
Wonderful.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
See you next week, Deidre.
All right. Have a good week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.